Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hello, this is Ian Lee. Thank you so much for downloading Ian Lee's Random Access Memories, a retro gaming podcast. Do check out the Patreon, patreon.com/IanLee, IAINLEE. And also go to my YouTube channel and look for the Random Access Memories there. Again, it's youtube.com/IanLee. Thanks for downloading. I'm really nervous.
So am I. Why?
I don't know.
This is weird, isn't it?
This is weird. Well, let's start. Dear listener, dear viewer, welcome. Random Access Memories, a retro gaming podcast with me, Ian Lee. It's episode 2. And I couldn't think of anyone better for the second episode than David Turner.
Because I'm very cheap. I'm very cheap. You got me on a low ebb.
I think we have a massive crossover of audience. So there will be a lot of my people who know who you are. There will be a lot of gaming people that are coming to this podcast and don't really know me that will know you. But let me... you are a podcaster. You're a gamer. You're one quarter of the computer game show podcast. That's about right, isn't it?
That's about right. Yeah. I've been doing podcasting since 2006, always about video games.
And you must be tired.
I'm very tired. I don't know why we're doing it, but we're doing it. And I'm currently doing the computer game show, which is a show about arguing.
2006 is early to be doing podcasts.
It was very early. Yeah, it was very early. It was I think it was before Apple started doing podcasts on iTunes.
Okay.
And we literally had like a Blogspot page that we posted audio up onto. And we recorded it using a single SingStar mic with a sock over the top of it with a chap called Michael Fox. Yeah. And it was in my bedroom. Wow. And we would have a single SingStar mic plugged into a laptop. And we would
pointing at each other?
Yeah. And then we would go back and edit the bits where you could hear the mic ruffling between the two of it. It was ridiculous. It was utterly ridiculous.
Once, in the very early days of podcasting, I was, it wasn't that early, actually. It would have been about 2010. And a guy said, Ian, would you come and do a podcast? Like, yeah, of course I will. And it was in his house, and he had a MacBook. And I said, right, where's the microphone? He said, we're using the microphone in the MacBook.
Oh, wow.
I was like, okay. And I listened. I'd love to find that now.
Immediately and slam the door, just so I'm better than this.
I did it. And I thought, well, this is going to sound... And it does. It sounds like we were underwater, talking in a cardboard box. It was the weirdest thing, but podcast was the Wild West back then. Now
totally.
It's like it's Barack Obama and Paul McCartney doing podcasts, which I think is cheating a little bit.
Yeah, I mean we're totally bitter about that. The people that have been podcasting since the mid 2000s, we're fuming that the celebrities have jumped on board and taken a big chunk of our pie. And they're complaining about it. They're complaining about not knowing about podcasting. And we're like, well, we've been doing it for ages.
Was it you that was tweeting about Louis Theroux's podcast?
That would have been Sean, I think. He's still very angry about that.
Sean won the computer game show, and it was something like every week it's Louis Theroux going, oh, well, I don't think this microphone... Is this recording? I don't know. Seems to be a technical problem. Yeah, people like you sorted out those technical problems 20 years ago.
Yeah, we paved the way, and we're not given enough credit. We are not given enough credit or money. So we're thinking about taking it to court.
No one's getting rich from podcasts. No one's getting rich, apart from Conan O'Brien and those people. So 2006, so what was the evolution from there to the computer game show where you are now?
Right, so we did a show called JoyPod, and we did that for about a year and a half, just as a podcast. I think it was every two a month, I think we were doing.
Right.
And then we went from there to a place called Play Radio UK.
Okay, I've had dealings with Play Radio UK, set up by broadcaster, provocateur, disruptor, Tommy Boyd.
Tommy Boyd.
Some people know from kids' TV, some people know from radio.
That's right. Well, I sent him an email and said, can I be a video game show on your radio station, please? And he replied going, yeah, all right. So he gave us a one-hour show. And, you know, I don't know how much I believe this, but once we did our pilot show, we come out and he said, that's the most amount of calls we've ever had in an hour slot. And, you know, looking back at it, maybe that was a little bit of fluff, but he gave us a two-hour slot. Didn't pay for us, but he gave us a two-hour slot.
And those studios were in the middle of nowhere, weren't they?
They were wild studios. Yeah. They were very straight. They were in the middle of nowhere, but also in the middle of a massive office full of people that would look over at us and go, what, who are they? And why? What are they doing? And we were quite, you know, we would shout a lot and we'd scream. And we used to play, you know, the soundtrack from Uendan at the top level, all this sort of stuff. And you would just see people in suits looking through the window, just going, what is going on in that room? It was really weird setup.
And it's fair to say that the people in that room, maybe not those specific people, but they were on watchdog for selling. It was something like cold calling and selling insurance for Sky satellite dishes,
right?
But they weren't actually connected with Sky. It was something like that.
Yeah.
Was going on in that building.
We had no idea. Absolutely, well, no idea.
I'm not accusing you of being involved.
I just want to get that out there, just in case there's anyone listening. We had no idea that was happening. You cannot prove that's me on the recordings. I wasn't involved in that. I was long gone by then. But that's where I met you. That's where I met you for the first time.
Because I came in and did a couple of shows. Do you know how much I got paid for that?
I don't know how much you got paid for that. Thousands, was it? Thousands?
I got paid nothing. He didn't even cover my petrol. Tommy wasn't even there when I came in. Never met him.
He wasn't there when you were...
Met him once at Talk Radio where he was coming out the studio and I was going in.
Oh, wow.
And it was two awkward men.
That's so bizarre, because from the outside, I thought you were like best buds. So, and I'd met him loads of times. Obviously, he was there quite a bit when I was on his show on Play Radio quite a few times, because he used to hand over and stuff. It was a strange, strange time for a guy that had started with a SingStar mic in his hand with a sock over the
top
of it.
That, when did that evolve into the, we'll talk about the game in a bit. You have brought a game with you. When did that? And I'm asking, we are friends, but I genuinely don't know the answer to these questions. It's not one of those fake, oh, tell me. I genuinely don't know. When did Play Radio evolve into the computer game show?
Yeah, so Play Radio went bust after they were stripped on, after the episode of Watch Dogs. And then we went back to doing podcasting for JoyPod. And then, you know, situations changed. My friend Michael Fox, who I was doing it with, he moved to America.
He's not Michael J. Fox, is he? The American actor.
His name is legitimately Michael J. Fox, but he's not that Michael J. Fox. Yeah, it's true.
Wow.
Yeah. He moved to America to do Back to the Future, which was weird because it had been out for ages. my wife and I were expecting a child, so I gave up podcasting because I, you know, and then I really missed the ego boost that I used to get from podcasting. So when I was ready, I decided it was time to get back to podcasting, and I was still in touch with Sean and Matt and James, who had also been on JoyPod here and there. You know, Sean was a regular presenter. James was sort of on and off, but he was on it quite a bit, and Matt always helped us out. And I just went, oh, let's do a real basic straight down the line podcast about video games. And one of the things we wanted to do was come up with the most arrogant podcast title we possibly could, and we landed on The Computer Game Show, because there is no other computer game show. And that's been going since 2015.
What were the other titles?
Oh, I really liked... Oh, there were some really offensive ones that we won't go into. I at one point it was Gamer Bros.
The Gamer Bros.
Yeah, the Totem What's up? Pole. I like the idea of the Totem Pole, and they were why? I don't know why.
I don't think you can say Totem Pole anymore.
I don't think you can. So we dodged a bullet there.
That's changed.
The video game podcast was one, but then we realised someone had already had that, so we didn't go with that. Yeah, it was weird.
I would say the names of the three other hosts, but I've just realised I can't remember one of the surnames, and I'm not going to say who. So.
This is interesting. Okay, well, let's try and drive people to your YouTube channel. Just wink when I say their names. I do it with Sean Bell,
so
James Farley, and Matt Murray. Okay, right. So you've forgotten Sean Bell's name. That's awkward.
Don't say that. and that goes out every week and
every Wednesday. Yeah,
it is. Quite a bit of it is about computer games, but as you said earlier, quite a bit of it is just arguing.
Yeah, we've got a very different view on video games. Like, Sean's really into his indie games. I like, you know, big AAA games. Matt likes everything, and James doesn't.
Matt does like everything, doesn't he?
He does. So we've got very different views on video games. Going into it, what I didn't like was listening to a podcast where you had four or five hosts all going, yeah. And I said, but that's not how, you can't all agree on this. You cannot all agree on it. So we said, we're going to go in the opposite direction. And we started off going too far in the opposite direction. And it got too, you know, people saying, actually, it's quite unpleasant to listen to. So we sort of found a sort of level now where we're happy to really dig into each other's flaws, but not make it too nasty. I hope that's the aim anyway.
You've brought the point of this show most of the time is someone talks about an old game, and I'm deliberately vague when I say retro because, you know, 360s retro, you know. So I deliberately leave it kind of open to the interpretation of the guest.
What's your definition for retro? What would you say the cutoff point is?
Right. Well, definitely 360 and PS3 is retro. I'm wondering if I could nudge it a little bit further, a little bit later.
It can't be PS4, well. Can it? Xbox One. It's tough, isn't it?
I think there's an argument for it. But also, if you got a 15-year-old now, my kids would think PlayStation 4 is retro. They're 11 and 13. That's retro. So, do you know, here's the thing I really wanted to do when I had kids, and I couldn't be bothered, is when they got to about 5 or 6, I'd introduce them to the BBC Micro and the ZX Spectrum. Go, this is computers.
Yeah.
Then about 2 years later, I'd move it up to like the Nintendo. Then about 2 years later, and so they would live it. They would live it in some kind of real time.
I had a pretty similar idea where I wanted to keep Harry away from giraffes for as long as humanly possible until he was like 15, and then take him to a zoo and go, look at those things. Look, you didn't even know they existed. That's got to blow your mind. That's a giraffe, mate. They're real. But he learned about giraffes when he was 3, so screwed it up.
When something weird happens, my 11-year-old goes, wow, that's like I'm tripping. What? How? What? Anyway.
Sorry, yes.
Enough of the drug talk. So, what game have you picked and why?
I have picked a game called Fiendish Freddy's Big Topo Fun from the Atari ST. And I don't know why. I think because it has always been on my mind. Like, ever since playing, I must have been 6 years old when I played this game, and I haven't stopped thinking about it since. And my brother will reference it to me. The name will pop up in my head every now and then. It's funny because we always had, my dad liked playing video games when we were younger. You know, that was a big thing back then. Like, parents didn't really play video games, but my dad was interested in them. You know, he was intrigued by them. But we didn't have a lot of money, so we always had, we were like what you were doing, what you want to do with your kids. It was what my dad was doing, was buying the 5, 6, 7-year-old machine off a friend at work, you know. And it must have been the early 90s, 91, 92. My dad come home from work with an Atari STE and a huge box of copied games, and there was
and
loads
that, because the Atari ST came about 85, so you're right, that's 5, 6 years
so he would have not paid a lot for that thing, and it was secondhand. It was often and it was just this huge box of copied games. And I didn't know this at the time, because I, in preparation for this pod, I rang my brother and said, what do you remember about getting the Atari ST, and what do you remember about Fiendish Freddy's Big Top of Fun? And he said, well, I said, it was in that big box of copied games, wasn't it? And he said, oh, no. No, that game caused a massive argument in our house. And I said, why is that? And he said, well, for some reason, and you might remember this, there used to be clubs that you could sign up to. And you wrote down a bunch of games that you wanted, and they would send you the game. But it would be like a subscription service. So you'd pay £20-30 a month or whatever it was back then. And they would pick a game off your list and send it to you to keep. You weren't renting it. You were buying a game a month, basically.
Oh, God, this is ringing a very distant bell.
But if you didn't, it was a bit, I think it evolved into Special Reserve by the end of it, but Special Reserve was a little bit different. But if
I don't know what Special Reserve is.
If you didn't have any games on your list, they would just send you the editor's choice. So once we got Graham Souness's Vector Soccer, which is probably the worst football game that's ever been made. It's crazy. When you scored a goal, there was a sound effect that went, it's a goal, it was so bizarre. But I found out that the last game he got from that service was Fiendish Freddy's Big Topo Fun, and my mum went absolutely ballistic, because she found out he was still subscribed to the service and that he hadn't used for ages. So and I think there's two reasons why there's a bunch of reasons why it sticks in my head. The first being, when you're a kid of that age, and all, forgetting what the games are like, because these are all great games, but when you're looking at games for the Atari, you're going Lemmings, Bomb Jack, Double Dragon, you know, they're pretty basic names. And then you come across Fiendish Freddy's Big Topo Fun. You as a kid are going, I'm playing that. What? I don't even know what that is, but I'm playing it. And it had this horrific image of a clown on the front cover. Like, it's a really,
I'm looking at a picture of it now, and if you're watching the video, you're going to see me playing it in the corner down there.
It's
a terrifying cover. Like, horrendous.
It really is, and it doesn't represent the clown in the game at all. Like, they've clearly put work into what Fiendish Freddy looks like in this game, and they've ignored that for the cover, and they've just made it as horrifying as possible, and it works because it's stuck in my head.
I am not. There's loads of these podcasts where it's experts who will know everything. I don't. I'm not an expert. I'm an enthusiastic amateur, and I'm here to learn stuff as well. And the Atari ST is something I didn't really know anything about.
Yeah,
I googled it, and I recognised it. I would have seen it in shops. I wasn't really into gaming at that point. I ducked out after the BBC Micro. Wasn't until the same.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself
and for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Sega Saturn that I went, oh my God, games got really, really good.
They did.
Team Wipeout on the Saturn was like, what is this?
Yeah.
So I missed out on the Atari ST. It's a beautiful looking machine.
It is a lovely looking machine. And all I know about the Atari ST, I don't know much about it, but all I know is there was a half megabyte version. Yeah. And a megabyte version. Wow. I don't even know what that refers to, right? But we had the half meg version, and my brother was fuming about that. He was really upset. Oh, why haven't we got the megabyte version? Apparently you could upgrade it. I don't know anything about that. My dad was never going to upgrade it. Like, that was...
Of course not.
No, that was well out of our reach.
I had not heard of Fiendish Freddy's Big Topo Fun. Anything that's got an O with an apostrophe because they're too lazy to write the F.
Yeah, yeah.
I am sold on it.
Yeah.
So I hadn't heard of this, and I'd try and play every single game that a guest brings. And, oh, my God, it's tough.
Yeah. Well,
it is tough.
It is not a good game. Like, I am not bringing this to the table saying this is a brilliant game. It's not a great game. It's a memorable one. And I think that's why I wanted to talk about it, because what I've always loved, I've always had a soft spot for games where you can hear the discussion, that you can hear the pitch and you can hear how the game was created just by playing it, right? And yeah. You just know that people were sitting in a room and saying, let's make an Olympic style game, like a track and field game, a game like a summer games type of game.
You're but right. It has
what
that
if
vibe.
There's someone trying to ruin it for you, trying to trip you up? And that's what Fiendish Freddy's Big Top of Fun is. It's a game with a story where a circus is being shut down by someone called I.M. Tightwad, and the circus need to make $10,000 in and I've got a theory, actually, that I.M. Tightwad, who is the greedy banker that wants to shut the circus down, I believe that's Fiendish Freddy. There's a theory behind that that I'm going to stick with. I think he's actually dressed up as a clown.
So it's not he's hired an evil clown.
No.
He is the evil clown.
No, because when you don't finish, if you don't get enough money by the end of the game, Freddy's tower is being built at the end of it.
Oh.
Hey. That's probably just made that up, but it sounds good, doesn't it?
There'll be Reddit threads about this conspiracy. Yeah. So it's five or six little mini games.
Yeah.
That you have to do. There's knife throwing. There's tightrope walking. There's juggling, I think.
Yep.
The one that I could not get a grip on was the diving.
The diving is the best one. I think
I couldn't work it out.
Have you got a zip stick? Because you need to get yourself a zip stick.
I beg your pardon. I don't know what a zip stick is.
It's basically an old branded joystick from the Atari ST era. They were beautiful.
You plug it into a PC?
I don't know. They must have alternatives now.
They
It was the one that we had was this clear case with these big red buttons and a big red joystick on top of it. It was beautiful.
Okay.
And that was how you had to play Fiendish Freddy. So you, for the diving, you would dive, and it was so beautifully laid out. What's so amazing about this game is just how well it's animated. Like, everything looks brilliant for that era. When you're doing the diving minigame, for example, you've got three different screens to look at. You've got the overall, like a long shot of the diving board and the diver dropping down, so you can see how far away you are from the bucket on the floor. You've got the zoomed in shot of the diver, and you've got a sort of radar on the bottom left to show you how close you are to the center of that bucket. So what you're doing is you're trying to get the crosshair where you're aiming over the bucket, and at the same time you're trying to hit the correct stunts in the air, you know, the poses.
Yeah.
And if you don't do it in the right time, Fiendish Freddy comes along on a flying bike with a big fan to try and push you over to one side so you can't hit the thing.
I was playing it on emulation on a PC.
Right.
No, I was. I think I got it from Steam.
Oh, really?
Anyway, I think I got it from... I can't remember, but I didn't have those three screens. I just had the guy falling.
Oh, really?
And I was playing keyboard, and I couldn't get him to spin or do anything.
Yeah, it's tough on a keyboard.
He just died.
But what? Well, this is it. This is the final thing that sort of really sticks in my head about Finnish Freddy's. Yes. Just how dark it is. I mean, the deaths in it are horrible. You know, if you don't hit that bucket, he screams and smashes through the floor. If you fall off the tightrope, you can grab hold of the, like, there's an animation where you grab hold of the tightrope and Fiendish Freddy comes with a hammer and just bangs your hand to make you drop. Yeah. And then you watch them fall to the ground. You know, the trapeze, what are they called? Trapeze artist? Is that right?
Yeah, the trapezist? He's a trapeze artist. I enjoyed the trapezist. I found that one quite easy because it's just balance, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Ooh. Well, no, trapeze is the one where you're swinging, isn't it?
That's the trapeze. Swinging. I'm thinking of the tightrope, man.
Yeah.
Or lady. The trapeze. Okay, imagine doing that in real life.
What, the actual trapeze thing?
Yeah.
Yeah, no.
I went to a circus. I took my boys to a circus, and I don't like stunts because there's always that tension. It's going to go wrong. And the trapeze was great. And the jumpers were great.
The jumpers.
The one who was rubbish, they also had a human cannibal. I've never seen a human cannibal before. But the one that was rubbish was the juggler, right? Because he'd pull his trousers open and try and catch it in his trousers. But he kept missing. And we're all willing him on. But like 3 or 4 minutes into it, we're like, mate, come on. It's not working tonight.
Just take him out and go, actually, sorry, we just had a phone call from the juggler. He couldn't be here tonight. Oh. But the juggling, how far did you get in the juggling with Infinity?
Couldn't
do it.
I could catch the things, but I couldn't juggle.
So in the juggling minigame, you're trying to control the things that are being chucked. A seal is chucking various different items at you, and you're trying to juggle with them. And then every now and then, Fiendish Freddy will come with either a missile or a bomb, and you've got to try and chuck it back at him. But then the further you get into it, they start chucking babies at you, and you're juggling babies, and you've got to try and get them. There'll be like a pram going past, and you have to try and chuck it, the baby in the pram. It was funny. It's dark. It's memorable. It's just not the best game I've ever played.
I did enjoy. I'm a big fan of the knife throwing. I think I could do knife throwing.
Really?
I genuinely think if there was a lady spinning on a hypno wheel in front of me, I think I could hit the balloon. I just got a feeling I could do it.
Are you going to convince Catherine Boyle, your friend, to get
what celebrity would I invite on the Wheel of Death? I've called it the Wheel of Death already. That's
that's not a great start, is it?
I'd have Anita Dobson. I would throw knives at Anita Dobson. Not to harm her. I genuinely think I could do it.
But, you know, you need a little bit of, just in case. Doesn't really matter.
Dutch courage.
Yeah, Dutch courage.
You need a few beers before. Just to calm my nerves.
Just to calm my nerves. I am very not. I'm shaking.
I enjoyed it a lot, actually. I thought it was, because it's, the thing about those games is because it's like 5 or 6 little mini games, it means it's worth going back to. Like the Decathlon game, Daily Thompson's Decathlon. You've got so many, if there's one bit you don't enjoy, you're going to like the next bit.
Yeah. Yeah. And not only that, it's one of those ones where you're like, okay, I've gone through the 5 games, I've failed, I haven't made enough money. I mean, the way you get money is ridiculous anyway. It's 4 clowns rating everything you do, and then they give you money towards, which is...
Well, I wonder if that's
sense.
Where Strictly Come Dancing got the idea, probably. Getting 4 clowns on.
Probably. I haven't seen it for years. That's satire. When you get to the end, if you don't do it, if you don't like complete the game, you do want to go back and do it again and go, actually, I could do better. I want to see how much money I can make. And I never did it. I never managed to save that circus. It was always shut down in my household. It's really tough. It's really tough. And those clowns are really tight. They do not want to give you much money.
I wonder, the joy of this show is some people are going to bring really famous games, and that's great, and some people are going to bring games that are really obscure. I hadn't heard of this. And I know it came out on the Spectrum and the Commodore.
They ported it over.
But I'm wondering, is this a famous game, do you think? Will there be people listening going, oh, at last, the podcast about Fiendish Freddy's big top of fun that we've been waiting for?
No, I don't think it's a famous game, but I do think that the people that have heard of it will go, oh my God, they're talking about Fiendish Freddy's Big Topo Fun. I remember that. That scared the life out of me when I was a kid. It was horrible. So, yeah, I think you'll find either people going, well, what are they talking about? What is this? And you'll find other people that are going, oh my God, I can't. I thought I was the only one that's ever played this game.
I looked it up on eBay. There's some chances looking for 35, 40 quid. But then there's one, buy it now, for $7.99, boxed and all the discs and everything.
Really?
So,
That's the thing, because I think the Atari one came on three discs. And the loading
was
just...
multiple discs.
Yeah. Oh, it was awful. The loading for it was just ridiculous.
Did you have to load each round separately?
I think there was like the one round. I think the diving round was on the first disc, and then there was two rounds on the second disc and two rounds on the third, because there's a lot of animation at the start of the
there's a lot.
And that theme tune, oh my God, someone nick it and put it in something else.
Can you sing it? I remember it being loud. I turned off the noise very quickly.
I've got to send you a link to the Atari version of it, because I don't think you were playing as Atari version of it, but
it's possible. Yeah,
yeah, it's I can't sing it because it's just like circus noise, but it's got that perfect little bit of sinister sound to that circus, that, you know, da-da-da-da-da-da, you know, it's like that sort of music, but it's just off to make you go, oh, this ain't right, actually. This is giving me, like, I've got pains in my chest because I'm worried about this guy in this cannon who's being shot, and if I don't position the net right, he is going to die in a horrific way. It's that. It's brilliant.
When... My first computer was a Dragon 32.
Wow.
I think my dad, we talked last week about, we had the first video recorder in our street and it was nicked and it was hidden behind the sofa and we couldn't tell people we had it.
Yeah.
I think the Dragon 32 came from a dodgy source as well. But I feel my dad was a Dodgepot, and when we moved on to get a BBC, and way after the Dragon had lived the Dragon was history, he sold it to my uncle for pretty much... what the original, like 200 quid or something.
Really?
And even then, as like a 9-10 year old, I thought, no, you're ripping him off. And my uncle was really annoyed with my dad when he found out it was crap.
I bet. We had, our first was a Atari 2600. And, you know, we had the paddles for it and the those black joysticks with a single button that people used to... I don't know.
It's a great joystick.
It was a great joystick, but I don't know if it was me or my brother, but someone was biting the top of it off constantly. It was really weird. Oh. Yeah, I don't know. So the top of that went. Weird looking console. I can't imagine, like back in the day, saying, oh, right, we're creating a family computer or whatever. Yeah, let's make it look like wood. Really? Yeah, let's put some veneer on the front of it.
But there were cars that were made to look like wood around about the same time.
That's crazy.
It's weird. What happened to the Atari ST? When do you know where it went?
I don't. It went in the loft, and my dad probably would have chucked it away when he moved. They moved about 5 years to Margate. 5 years ago to Margate. So that would have gone in the skip, I'd have thought. Little funny story with that. My dad had a skip on his drive when they were just getting rid of everything when they were moving out. And there was a joke inflatable doll in the loft. And my brother placed it right on the top of the skip. So for 2 days, without my dad knowing, there was an inflatable doll at the top of his skip. So,
but also the phrase... a joke inflatable doll.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. Right. I mean, I was being kind. I was the benefit of the doubt. The benefit of the doubt in for my father.
I love skips, right? I've been lucky enough to have a skip outside my house, and it's a real joy to go down in the morning and see what's been taken out of it and what's been added to it. I love it. And I've driven past skips and gone, oh, look. Oh, they've got that in there. Right, I'll come back when it's dark and I'll have that. I love a skip. I love a good skip.
You're allowed to, right? You're allowed to just take stuff out of skips. It's fine. But yeah, so that Atari ST is probably gone now, which is sad, but also there's nothing really on that console that I miss playing. I mean, I loved it when I was a kid. You know, Double Dragon was massive for me. I loved that game. Yeah. Bomb Jack, we played a hell of a lot. Lemmings and Monkey Island and stuff. But But look, I'm not a retro gamer, and I know a lot of your listeners will be retro gamers, and I yeah. totally respect retro gamers. I love that they love going back. I've just never been able to. I've yeah. always played current stuff instead. But that doesn't stop that nostalgia you get just from hearing that music and seeing those animations, and you do go. I can see why people are sort of obsessed with retro gaming, because you get transported back to that moment in time. You can smell the air of your bedroom. You yeah. can feel oh, the yeah. springs under your mattress when you were sitting on your bed playing it.
I remember yeah, being amazing. A kid and shouting downstairs, "Mom, can I get the BBC set up?" And you had to wait, and then you get the black and white portable. And anyway, David, thank you. We were both nervous, but we did it.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. I mean, I don't get invited on many podcasts, so this has been an absolute thrill.
The Computer Game Show, all your usual podcast providers, comes out every Wednesday. You do it live on a Monday evening on Twitch.
We do, TCGSCo on Twitch. And TCGSCo on all of the socials.
Matt, the socials.
Matt's really good at that stuff, so yeah.
What was Matt? Last name?
Murray.
That's Murray. The one. I knew that. David, it's lovely to see you. I've got to give my Patreons a little shout out.
Yeah, do it.
Sam Hughes. This is only week 2 and they've got Patreons. I can't believe it. Sam Hughes and executive producer Matt Stanley Evans. We've got an executive producer. So thank you to those.
Big up Sam and Matt.
David, lovely to see you. We will probably have a conversation once I press the stop button on this.
Okay.
So I look forward to speaking to you in a minute.
Bye. Thanks for having me.
Bye. Thank you so much for downloading Ian Lee's Random Access Memories, a retro gaming podcast. Do check out the Patreon, patreon.com/IanLee, IanLee. And also go to my YouTube channel and look for the Random Access Memories there. Again, it's youtube.com/IanLee. Thanks for downloading.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.